Amen. Good morning, church. You gotta forgive me. I just don't like to sit. I do not like to be up here. I don't know what it is. Just I'm like a ruler or something, man. I like to be down with the common folks, and because I'm just an ordinary guy. Amen. Right. I'm gonna get into something. I'm gonna start off just one of the things for me being up here and for my. I work with the college group here at the church if you're new. And one of the catchphrases that is always, that I've always had for them is, man, we just have to keep it real. Anybody ever hear that? I like real people. I've come from an area I grew up in, Southwest Detroit. And one of the biggest things were is that everybody, even if you go down to the city, they could be living their life any kind of way. They could be selling dope. And then they'll tell you, man, you better keep that junk real. You know, I mean, they're lying and cheating, but they want you to be honest with them, right? Everybody wants just give me the facts. So, and don't lie to me. And so I'm going to come off today. It's like a disclaimer, you know, before you watch a TV show. Number one, I'm not a pastor here at this church. I'm not the assistant, nor am I the head pastor. So if you came this week not knowing I was going to be up here preaching, it's, man, come back next week. All right? Come back next week, and you'll get a message from our senior team of pastors or our elders. But, you know, so Pastor Don told me I had to put that disclaimer out here just in case someone left in the middle of my message and was offended by something that I said. No, he didn't. I'm just joking. But I want to get into something. We're definitely going to get in the Word of God, but I want you guys to know that, man, for me to be up here is very humbling. I want to thank our pastors and man, I've been crying all day, man. We're sitting here praying, doing practice on these songs, and I've just been crying. And so I'm going to try to hold down my emotions. For those of you that don't know, I'm a Detroit police officer by work relation, and we're supposed to be strong and hard and calloused, and so I'm going to try to use that a little bit today so I could get through this message, you know, because I've been on the department for, this was my 14th year complete. I'm starting my 15th year on the department, and so being on the Detroit Police Department, not no suburban department, but Detroit Police Department, you see a lot. You see an awful lot, and in your first year, you see things that you wish you didn't see. You know, I grew up there on Rathbone, and I realized when I came on the job, all the things my mother and father tried to shelter me from. Like, dang, man, this was going on? This was going on? And I kind of realized exactly why I was raised the way I was raised. There was a certain time I had to come in. Anybody can attest to that? I don't care what he's doing. What did I say? Man, you just didn't open your mouth and say, you know, one of the things that we knew not to do, you know, because it was, you know, normally my little brother helped us out with that. Jeff always did. Like, because he was the youngest, so he was maybe the first one to speak. And speak out of turn or out of line. And once you saw what happened to him, you knew not to ask no more questions. It was just going to be that way, right? No, none of you guys know what I'm talking about, but I mean someone in this house, amen, you guys know what I'm talking about. So, okay, we're going to get into this word, and God has given me a word on, if you guys want to open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 9, verse 28. We're going to go there today, and I'm going to try to lay a foundation and a principle of what God was showing me, because I believe that the Lord is wanting to do something mighty with this church. I believe that he's, even though, like I said, I see so much negative things in my line of work. You know, I tell somebody every day that we have these microphones that come up to either you can put them up here or you can keep them on your hip, and they relay runs to you throughout the course of your day of work, and it's always something negative. It's always something negative, something crazy going on. You know, and Pastor Don can relate his years on the police department. You're just like, man, you could be in the middle of just having a great conversation, and all of a sudden, they say your code, 13-1, make Peterborough and Cass on a woman's caught screaming on 911 saying that the man's trying to steal her purse and she's got a knife going to stab him, and the cousin's coming over from the projects across the street, and you're just like, oh my gosh, dear Lord, you know, and you're driving over, and it's like, man, be ready, like in a moment, you got to be ready. And you hear all that stuff, and you wonder, Lord, you can get to a point where I've seen a lot of people get to where you do get calloused, and you get hardened, and you're like, what am I doing this for? What am I doing this for? And, you know, to be honest, you end up running into a lot of people who, I mean, how many know officers, you know, that, you know, they just got so much, they walk with so much pride, there's so much cockiness about them. You know, and it's like, who do you think you guys know you want to say it. After they walk away from giving you that ticket, you know, you want like, who does he think he is? He thinks he's all, I bet you he speeds. I bet you he blows lights. Yeah, ma'am, you can't go through a yellow light. You know, it does mean to stop. Yeah, I bet you do. I bet you hit that accelerator. You know, you do. You know, we're human, you know. And but you see these guys get so callous, and you wonder, where is the Lord in all of their in all of this? Where is the Lord in all of this? All that we see, all that we're going through. You know, Joe works cases in court, in a court of law, and you know, sometimes we get cases, and it's, you're like, oh my gosh, you know. And I believe that we're living in a time where there needs to be where the enemy is trying to rip out hope from the church. You know, you pray something, and it's almost like you're throwing up a Hail Mary and hoping that he answers. And we lose sight. It's so easy to lose sight that God is still God. Amen? And an example, you know, one of the examples I have here in my notes here is Solomon. And we always talk about in this church, it's not how you start, it's how you what?
Finish.
And when you think of Solomon, what's the very first thing you think of? Wisdom. I hear wisdom.
A lot of wives.
We hear wives too, right? Well, most of the time you hear wisdom first. Most of the time you hear wisdom first, because we all like to use the good things about Solomon, right? We all, I mean, even David. What about David? We hear, when we talk about David, mighty king. You know, he was a young boy that knocked out Goliath. We heard that one since we were this little, you know. And we love hearing the stories of triumph. And the one of the things I got with Solomon here in my notes is that we talk, you think wisdom in that he built the temple, but we forget about the fact that he was fascinated with Egyptian women, right? We forget about that he loved, not only fascinated, he had an infatuation, but he loved them, so much so that he married them, exactly what God told him not to do. And then what that did is these Egyptian women were idolaters, and it brought idolatry into Israel. When that happened, it just began to strip, the Lord began to strip things away from Solomon, right? Amen? And so what I realized here is that in this culture, we celebrate the things that we build if it's great enough, regardless if you didn't love what God loved while you were building it. And I believe we got to get back to a place where we just love him. Daddy, I want what you want. I want what you desire. Because I can't do this on my own. There's many times, man, where I've cried out to the Lord, and because I know I'm not doing it. Some of you guys know my testimony. We don't have the 2.5 hours it will take for me to share that testimony. But, man, you know, get with my wife sometimes, you know, because sometimes I like to leave out the details. You know, but she'll add them in. Girl, you know what he did? And this is what else he did? No, she wouldn't do that. Where's she at? Where's Allison? Oh, okay, changing the baby. She laughed because she knows. She knows me. I call on her in a heartbeat. But yes, let's get into the word. What I'm going to try to do is I'm going to take us to 7 events that mark Jesus' life, and then I'm going to hit on 3 basic principles that I feel that we can live by. My title today is Where is our desire to climb? Where is our desire to climb? And you look at Luke. Let's go there. Luke 9:20. I love the Word of God, man. And one thing you're going to, I say man a lot. I say dude a lot. I say dog a lot. It's just, pardon me. I've not had classes on being, you know, politically correct or whatever you might call it. I just get excited about this Word, and sometimes I just go off. So bear with me, okay? Can we do that? All right, 9:28. 9:28, here we got Jesus, and this is a story that a lot of us have already heard, and I just want to touch on it and draw out some points from it. Okay, are we there? Say amen. Amen. All right, some of you are cheating, you're not even there, you're looking up here at the board, but it's all right. 9:28, about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up unto a mountain to what? Pray. Why did he go up to the mountain? He went to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you and Moses and Elijah." While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son. Have chosen, listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at this time what they had seen. Now, one of the biggest things that I see here is that he went there for one general reason. It's to pray. And I believe that you Donovan, you spoke on that at the men's breakfast yesterday? And one of the basic principles of Christianity is praying, right? And we always talk about it, but I think sometimes we become so lackluster in that area. You know, it becomes something that, all right, yeah, I know I have to pray, but what else? You know, yeah, I know I have to pray, but, you know, who's going to help me with this car payment? Hello? You know, I know I got to pray, but who's going to help me, you know, get to this point or that point? It's always an and, but this, but that. And we attach it to our prayers, right? Mm-hmm. And the Lord was showing me with this is that this was one of the places that, well, number one, he took his disciples, and he only took a couple. And I we could get into this later, but I just believe that these were disciples that really longed to be with him all the time. There were certain, it wasn't the only time in Scripture where he singles these men out. And so, if that desire is in you, I believe God's longing to take you to places where you've never dreamed to be. You know, whether it, and I'm not talking about having this mega church or having your just big ministry where you're selling a bunch of books and publications. But I'm talking about the simple things. Your kids will one day follow him. You know? You'll have a peace in your rest in your house that's never sat in that house before. The generations that you lived under in the past are not reflected now in your home. Because you have brought that desire has said, "Lord, I need a peace. I know what I went through. I know how my dad was. I know how my grandfather was. But I need your peace in this house to rest in it, to carry me when things aren't going so well." You know, we go to work, And today, that's the thing. We're going to leave this place, and we're going to leave this message, you know, and say, one thing I do not want, I always tell Impact, our college group, I don't need you to tell me, Steve, that was a great word. I need us to live this word. Just like when someone who studies it, Pastor John and John always tell us, when they give you something to study, you always seem like you get the most out of it. The one who studies it. Amen. But the one when you are in charge of presenting that word, the biggest thing for me is that everybody in here carries something of change inside of them. That they don't leave out those doors rolling into, well, that was a good word. You're cutting your chicken at Big Boy, or you're sitting there at the whatever ram's horn or something, and you've just forgotten what God has desired or called you to do. And it's so easy in the church today to go in and hit a good message because we're all looking for the next best thing. That's the way society has got us to this point. Well, what's up next? Oh, that was good, but what's up next? I got to say, you know, it's always we want the hottest, the now, right? Or it's just me. I'm just me. I'm talking to a bunch of saints in this place. I don't know. I mean, they're all cousins of Jesus, and I'm just sitting here alone. But anyhow, I believe that there's seven events that mark Jesus' life. Number one, it's his birth. Number two, it's his baptism. If you're taking notes, just get the tape because I'm going to try to get through this. Because I am on a time limit, and if you guys know me, I will go. Number one is birth. Number two is baptism, Jesus' baptism. Number three is his temptation. Number four is his transfiguration. Number five is his crucifixion. Number six is his resurrection. And number seven is his ascension. Now, those are, I believe, seven of the major points in Jesus' life that tell us about who he was and what happened. When you go through points one through three, those are all things that we ourselves fall into. Birth, baptism, and temptation. They're all common to us, right? It's not until the point to where we get to transfiguration that everything else stands out. What did I say the ones were after transfiguration? Crucifixion. No one's getting crucified up in here. Resurrection and ascension. I believe there's something that happens when you come into a place with God, and something that can happen when you come into a place with God that can transfigure who you are. You know, and I know that when I walk in the work, there's sometimes there's people that there's something different about that officer. And I believe there's something that's different upon you in here that can come upon your life that you can have as a consequence of climbing that mountain. Amen. I believe it. I believe it. I believe that sometimes we fall so often in a point of mediocrity in our walk with Christ because it just becomes so common. You know, my mom will always say, you know, well, honey, they're just on the treadmill of life. You know? Yeah, that's exactly it. You set the speed, you know, and you just start going. And you start going. And you know what? When all of a sudden you get tired, we slow it down. We got control, right? It's not the Spirit of God that's moving us. It's our own selves. Hold on, I'm going to dial it down. Do you know the week I've had? I don't have time for all that. Turn that mug down. We're in a stroll today. I'm not talking to nobody, right? Come on now. So the thing is what I saw here was transfiguration was the biggest. Transfiguration is one that stands out. Prior to that, everything else is a common thing. There is somewhere we can go that separates you from the common. We need to stop showing the world us and show them Jesus. You know, that's one of my biggest things. Let's just show them Jesus. In the church today, I told Pastor Don I'm not going to get onto my soapbox. You know, I'm just going to touch it just a little bit. I'll be rebuked later for this. But, you know, I just believe that the church today, we all, especially around in our area, you know, it's who's got the biggest? Who's got the biggest? Who's got the hottest coffee? Who's got the donuts? Oh, we bring croissants in our church. You know, we got lounge chairs. We got this. We got that. I believe that we need to come to a point where it's not about the coffee. It's not about the donuts. It's not about your worship team. Is Jesus there? You know, is Jesus there? Because if he's there, I'm showing up. You know, I want to show up where Jesus is, because I know there's been times in my life that I've had to make a decision when I wasn't walking the way I should walk. and I fell so far. And the thing was, and there might be someone in this room that you feel like lately you've walked away, you've been going in that treadmill, and you find, where is that place I can go? Because one of the things that was in me was, I want to do good. I do in my heart, I want to do good, but I find myself pulling towards other things. And I'd sit there and actually cry and have this conversation with myself, arguing with myself. But I wanted, Daddy, I want to do good, but when it comes to making a choice, I always seem like I'm falling over to this side. I want to treat these people like this, but when I get around them, they get to me. How many been there? And it's week after week, month. It might be in your relationship with your wife. It might be at work with your coworkers. You find yourself sitting there, well, we're going to do it like this. And we're going to do it, and we're going to pray together, honey, and we're going to go to church together, and we're going to do this and that. And then all of a sudden, something happens, because it will happen, right? The Bible does say we will experience what? Yes, troubles. And when it happens, I believe that we can get to a place where if you've climbed the mountain, you begin to see things with a different eye. Amen? Amen? We good on time here? What time am I supposed to finish? I don't have my phone with me. I got to keep... What time is that? I just want to stay and honor our pastors by doing what I should be doing here. But I just feel like God's given me something, and I want to get it out to you. Are we okay in here? All right. I believe it starts with maturity. It starts with maturity in our walk, and you always hear that as it's almost like a phrase. You need to grow up. How many of us told our kids that? No? No? Some of you tell your wives that. Some of you guys watch out now. Get a shoe thrown at you in a heartbeat. You need to grow up. You know, I just like people to be real, though. I really do. You know what? I can't stand if, you know, it's almost like that person you run into, and maybe you guys know someone like this at your work or your job, or maybe some of you guys in here, you come in, hey, how you doing? Blessed in the city, blessed going out of the city. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, not stressed. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, God is good, you know, the devil can go to hell. And like, just one time, dude, I want to hear that you're doing miserable, man. Come on, man, just keep it real. I'm doing miserable. I just cussed out my wife before I got here. I kicked the dog on the way out. And actually, when I'm leaving here, I feel like I should beat my kids. You know, just be honest. Just be honest, man. In church today, we have to just be honest sometimes. My gosh, just be honest. You have not arrived, you know? And the only way, the Lord showed me, is that the only way, Steve, you will ever be, and I'm talking about a specific time in my time with the Lord, is the only time this is the key. The only way that you will ever come close to being who I've called you to be is when you become a reflection of me. And how does that happen? I look at the story and it says, well, he took him up and his face shined at the top of the mountain. And then I started looking in the word and it says that Moses' face shined when he seen him. And when he came down that mountain, it tells us in Exodus, what was that? Exodus chapter 34, 29, that Moses' face began to shine. So it's not just about Jesus, because we always like to say, well, that was Jesus. You know, I mean, come on. Well, no, I see Moses that did it. I see Stephen. It said that his face shined like that of an angel. Right? Because I believe something could come upon us if we get to a place where we continue, start climbing that mountain to him. And it's in our prayer life. How do you do that? You ask, how do you do that? It's taking yourself out of the crazy cycle and get into that place to say, Lord, I repent. It's just, you know how it is. You know, we like to tell God like how it is. You know how it is, man. Right? I mean, I got work. You know, the kids are crazy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you bless me and I thank you. But, I mean, they're wild, man. I come in the door, they're grabbing on my boots, they're grabbing on my microphone. They're just on me, you know. And then there's work to be done at the house. They're keeping me over for overtime. They're doing this, they're doing that. And we make up all these excuses. Well, I'll just sing and I'll just praise them in the shower. I'll just say a prayer for them. You know, I'll throw one up. Give them a little something here on the side, you know. And I just believe that we have to, in order for us to be used efficiently, we have to give the Lord our best. We have to, and the Lord convicted me of that years ago, and he continues to do that. Like I said, I'm not sitting up here as someone that says I've arrived. I'm telling you, he constantly says, when I feel myself getting frustrated, when all of a sudden something starts getting to me, when's the last time you've been up on the mountain? Look, Pastor Don asked me to do this message. Dude, I'm living in my in-laws' house. I sold my house. I've been looking for a house. You know, John thought he got rid of me twice. For those of you that don't know, ask somebody. But he thought he got rid of me twice. And the second time I come back to his house after selling my home in Allen Park with his daughter and four kids. And you say, how can that man have peace? It's because, man, I'm climbing a mountain. I know my circumstances don't look like some of y'all's in here. And some of you, I would not want it. For some of you guys that have different issues, I don't want it. But I believe that something happens that when you get into his presence, amen. Let's touch on those very briefly. We're gonna try to wrap this up in a good time, Pastor Don, I promise. God is looking for people who are obsessed with his presence. That's God's news. That's good news, because anybody can do that. It's not a gift. It's not a choice. I mean, it's not a gift. It is a choice. Can't read my own writing. It said, if you can't sing, you can still seek him. If you're not eloquent, you can still seek him. If your IQ isn't, your IQ is just going to be what it is. But God can do whatever if you just seek him, if you become a seeker. I love that God's standard for Christianity on this earth is a seeking heart, because it puts everybody in this room on an equal playing field. Amen? It's when all that's happened and Monday morning you wake up, it's when everything else has happened. You know, it's like when we go to conferences, we fall down. You know, you might have had a dream or a vision. You go to these conferences, and that's almost like you love conferences, but then you don't, because you hate when people are all just gung-ho on fire, and then all of a sudden they come back, and this, all of a sudden you see them in that deadened state again. It's like, man, why'd you even go? Why'd you even go if you're not going to hold on to that beautiful thing? I believe that it's because we got to have a consistency in that fire. Continue to throw coals upon that flame. Amen? And the way we do it is climbing that mountain. It's when you go to the concert, or when you go to the venue, when you go to the conference, and you still pray, and you still journal, and you still fast, and you still submit yourself to spiritual authority, and you seek God applying elementary principles of Christianity in our faith. I want heaven to say he inherited. Let's give him authority over principalities. Amen. I want to run after him, guys. I believe Jesus had big calves because he was constantly walking up those mountains, man. He was. Three areas that come as a consequence of our lives at the mountaintop with Christ. We ready? We ready to go somewhere? That was my intro. Here we go. Number one, it transforms our lives view. It transforms our lives view. When we get to the place where we're willing to go up to the mountain, it transforms our lives. True prayer is the ascending of the soul to a spiritual summit. I'll say that again. True prayer is the ascending of the soul to a spiritual summit. Altitude shrinks your issues. God has clearly ordained you to operate over these things. You start believing and expecting God to answer. You know, and I have here in my notes that, you know, we still, you know, we have to get past that point to where it's, like I said, we're throwing up Hail Marys and hoping that they get answered. I believe that if we had like 5 or 10 people in wheelchairs and one of them got up, we'd probably hold service over for, you know, hold it over, man. God's moving. It's like, man, I just don't want one. I see people on an everyday basis with their lives tore up, you know? And, you know, I wonder what it is about the addict that has a hard time understanding. And they know. You ask them about Scripture, they'll know Scripture. That's why I'm not so pompous or prideful to know. I believe that there's a guy right now, you know, people always say stuff, and I've used this before. People always say, well, I want to be debt-free. I want to be anointed. I believe there's a guy under a bridge right now on 75 that's debt-free, right? And he probably knows more Scripture than us, right? But I believe that the only reason is because they haven't seen Jesus right. Because when you see Jesus right, you can't go back. You can't go back. You know of him. You've heard it. You've heard it preached to you before. But you got to know who he is, that he loved you. When we sing these songs, it's so hard for me not to get emotional because I know that yet when I was a sinner, he loved me. When I didn't deserve his love, he loved me. When I talked to her the way I shouldn't have talked to her, he loved me. And it says in his word that he talks to the Father on our behalf. And I believe that there were many days in my life, because I won't talk to the saints, you know, cousin to Jesus, I'll talk about me. In my life, that he was saying, I know what he's doing, Father. I know what he's doing, but my blood has covered that. He's going to come around. And I just believe that when you know the real Jesus, and it's not just, you know, we say, oh, you got to know the real Jesus. Even when I say it, I almost get sick because I hate cliches. I hate to hear people say, oh, you just don't know the real Jesus. Do you? Because if you did, there should be something inside of you that drives you up that mountain. You know, something inside of you that says, when I ask you, how's the prayer life been going? How's everything been going with the wife? How's everything been going with the kids? Man, I'm climbing that mountain. I'm climbing that mountain. I'm seeing him, asking him for direction. And sometimes I don't even know where I'm going. But I know that if Jesus comes and shows himself to me, then there could be something on my life that will reflect his glory. Right? Amen. Amen. Transforms our lives view. True prayer is ascending of the soul to a spiritual summit. God's looking for people to still get up and climb that mountain. I'm going to be closing here. G.H. Knight, I told Pastor Don, I don't read a lot of the newer books, and there's probably some great new books out there, and I have read some, but I read a lot of dead people's books. and for me, like they got to be like 100 years dead, you know, or more. You know, they just couldn't have died. They got to be. And something with me is that, and it might just be me judging. Some of you guys, he's just judging. Judging people. No, I just think sometimes people are writing for the wrong motives. To get a public. I love to read these guys because back then they didn't worry about their publication and how many books they would sell and the money that would be brought in from the profit of that. They wrote these things because something inside them was felt like it was going to explode if they didn't get it up out of them. There was a certain different reason. There was a different motive behind it, right? So there's this guy named G.H. Knight, and he wrote this. So it is when... Are you guys still with me? Amen? All right. So it is when by prayer we climb the Mount of God. From that summit of communion with God, we see things in a broader view and truer relationship. Our clothes are a big deal to us because God isn't where he should be. Because God isn't. Our house is such a comfort of rest because his presence is not. Point number two. Transforms our view of God. Being up on the mountain transforms our view of God. A.W. Tozer says this, a quote from A.W. Tozer, "The most important thing we can do in life is to think rightly about God. We must learn to see things through his eyes, through the eyes of heaven." Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, see, I'm going to have to flip through it. You guys are just going to look up at the screen as she dials it in and already be there and mess with me because you're the... What's that? Oh. See, I told you anybody can do this, man. I'm telling you. You guys getting something out of this? I hope so. I hope so. God's calling us to climb. I believe there's a deep hunger because he says in that place of prayer, in that mountaintop experience with him, is where he can then use you and mold you. And you want to see blind eyes open up. You want to see people touched by the glory of God. I believe it first starts in the presence of God. You know, it says that men in the Bible, there were those men that didn't even know Jesus. They were sitting there praying. And it says that they didn't know him. And those demons just whooped them, right? But I believe that there's something that comes up on your life, comes on your marriage, comes on your children when you begin to just get bathed in that place of prayer. Climb that mountain, friends. We got to climb that mountain. The third one and my final one. I told you today, one of my points was transforms our view. Second point was transforms our view of God. And number three was seek his face continually. We got to become seekers. In psychology, they have a word called integrating. And it's funny because it reminds you of like that old couple that always look alike. They shuffle at the same pace. They eat the same foods. You know what I'm talking about or no? You run into them. Normally, they're like older, you know. They're like, you know, I ain't going to even put an age out here because someone might slap me. But you know what I'm talking about? It's like almost someone that's been with each other for a long time, they just begin to act alike. They begin to talk alike. They begin to finish each other's sentences. And the Lord said, and my cry for this church is that we begin to reflect his glory. That we begin to reflect at our workplace, in our marriages, in our houses, wherever we may go. Just reflect him. That's what I'm trying to do. That's all I'm trying to do. That's what I believe this church is called to do. When someone says something about Downriver Christian Community Church, I don't want it to be that church. Jesus is there. You know, it tells us in science again, it tells us that the moon doesn't have the ability to create its own light. Did you know that? It's from the reflection of the sun. It's from the reflection of the sun that it gains its omniscience, its glow. And I believe that God in this house today wants us to recommit ourselves to climb that mountain. So if we could have the prayer team come up. Now, I just believe that when you get scripture, it's okay if you read it. But I believe it tells us in the Word of God that the scripture is like a double-edged sword that's willing to cut away. And I pray, Lord, cut on me. Cut on me. Make me the man you desire me to be for my wife, for my kids. And guys, you know what? I'm still failing. But I say, All right, I got to put my climbing shoes on. I got to go. I don't want to stay. I see too much. I hear too much. It's not a presidential election that's going to save us. It's the glory of God falling back on the church again. You watch what will happen if miracles begin to happen at this church. You watch what's going to happen when every child in this church becomes a success story because the glory of God upon their life, because parents stay committed to climbing the mountain. Man. If this message, and you know what, you can go home, you can start thinking about church, you can start thinking about what time the game comes on. That's, you know what, a lot of churches are doing that. That was a good service, Pastor. And I'm getting out the first one out the lot. My kid's going to get the first donut. Whatever the case may be. But I believe that God has appointed this day, this time, for this church to say, hey, you know what? Enough's enough. I want to climb that mountain. Father, forgive me for being laxed. I want to climb. The prayer team is up here. If you feel a tug on your heart that says, you know what, I'm not been climbing this mountain, I would just want to urge you to come forward during this song and just begin to get prayer and ask God, because all it says, Candace said it earlier, the scripture in Matthew, that when you call upon his name, seek me where I will be found. He's here, friends. He's here. So I'm going to pray. We're going to dismiss. Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord God, that your arm is long enough to reach out and grab us. Lord, I thank you, Father. Lord, that the many times that we've said, I'm going to do it, you've not given up on us. You've not given up on us, oh God. Lord, even now, the struggle that's going on inside of us eternally, should I make a decision or should I? Because I'll do it again. Lord, I come against that spirit of fear right now in Jesus' name. I come against that spirit of hopelessness in Jesus' name. Lord, and I pray, Lord God, for hearts that are willing. Lord, for people to start dreaming again. For people to start hoping again and believing in the God of this age. The God that is in that Bible. It says, greater works we shall do. Father, I'm ready to do some greater works. Father, use us, mold us, change our hearts, our lives today. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Service has ended. You can go upstairs, get your kids. But I urge you guys can come forward now. The prayer team is here. Thank you. Thank you.